Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me is Travis Northup.
McClunky.
And Paul Tassie is back. Paul, how's it going?
Good, good. Glad to be here.
Brian is hard at work at Gamescom. We're recording late in the day on a Friday. I managed to get away from my technical director duties for a little bit. There was some pretty big news this week. We learned that Destiny 2 is coming to Game Pass. We're going to talk about why that's important. We saw some more Beyond Light gameplay, which was pretty exciting. And also, I kind of want to take a look back at where the Halo franchise has gone and talk about where Bungie is going with Destiny and how interesting I think, well, at least for Paul and I, Travis, you just kind of, you literally ran to catch this call in time. But I think it's really, really interesting to sort of look at Paul, the way you said it was a path diverges in the woods, right? And where 343 has taken the franchise and Bungie. But let's start with that Game Pass reveal. If you haven't heard yet, Destiny 2 is coming to Xbox Game Pass. It's coming to console first. I think it's hitting console in September, and that is going to include all expansions, including Beyond Light, November 10th, once it arrives. That is one heck of a deal. Let me just sort through the panel. What is your reaction to this? Are you salty? Or are you happy? Because I did see some people like, oh, I pre-ordered and I'm not happy. Travis, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, so I'm actually one of those people. I'm an Xbox main and I am a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber. Mm-hmm. But I also pre-ordered Destiny Beyond Light. But I'm not super upset about it. This is good for all of us going forward in the future. It means that I probably don't have to worry so much about buying Destiny expansions, at least on Xbox. I can buy them on Steam for, you know, my PC crossplay endeavors, but on Xbox it'll always just be there for me as part of the service, assuming that this sticks around for the future, which I have a feeling it probably will be. Seems to make sense for both parties. But yeah, I think this is great. It also improves the player base on Xbox, which, you know, I think that's probably one of the consoles aside from Stadia that has had the most trouble gaining traction, just because it's the amount of people who play on Xbox primarily is lower than other platforms. So I think this is awesome, man. And Game Pass, I mean, what a good deal that subscription is, man. It just keeps getting better. So,
you know, I've been talking about it on Unlock basically nonstop. It is an insane deal. It's really, really good. I'm very happy about it. Paul OnlyFans Tassie, what do you think about it? I saw you tweet the meme and I can't get it out of my brain. What do you think about the whole Game Pass thing? Like, what does this mean for Destiny? Just tell us a bit about your thoughts.
It's a big deal both for Destiny and for Game Pass itself. I think if this was just a kind of Forsaken and Shadowkeep coming to Game Pass, it wouldn't really have been that big of a deal. Like, it would have been cool, definitely, and an addition. But the fact that Beyond Light is also there as a brand new release, and I know it's not a sequel, but it might as well be a sequel. Like, this is going to be a very large expansion from what we can tell, possibly the largest based on everything we're kind of learning about it. And the fact that Bungie is choosing to debut that on Game Pass is a sign of things to come, I think, in this industry. And we'll talk about Halo a little bit later, but Halo is another franchise where it's like, it's debuting on Game Pass and it's going to be this platform indefinitely. And the future appears to be both a combination of these subscription services where you pay a flat fee for access to all these games, and then kind of indefinite games that just keep updating and releasing patches and DLC and stuff like that on the same service. And I think Destiny understands that, like, Game Pass is kind of the future, and they want to run an experiment with one of their communities that is maybe struggling a little bit harder than the others to get a player base. And I think, like Travis said, it will dramatically improve the health of the game there. And I didn't even consider that about how with cross-save, I don't really have to worry about buying the expansions on Xbox now. I want to switch over there and play that on Series X or whatever. So that's a very cool benefit I didn't really even consider till now. So.
That's a huge bonus. And just you saying it, you know, sparks it in my brain too, because I do play on my Xbox when I'm jumping on the console usually. I think in addition, we're going to see this huge influx of new players on the Xbox platform this fall. Xbox has trailed slightly behind Sony for some time as the like destination for Destiny. Destiny, as many of the watchers of this show may know, launched with PlayStation exclusive content. It was like that for many, many years. And now Xbox is just going to get this very low barrier of entry to all the content via Game Pass. It's pretty astounding to me, and an astounding value for a game that I've put about 1,000 hours into. Travis, do you have any other thoughts about this now that we've talked a bit?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to play Beyond Light and you are, you know, wondering which platform you should go with, I think like there's a lot to be desired, or not a lot to be desired. There's a lot to appreciate in Xbox Game Pass's fall lineup. You know, Halo Infinite, Destiny, all that stuff coming to Game Pass all at once, and I think it's huge for Destiny. And also there's some like sentimental value in seeing Halo, Bungie's old creation, and Destiny, Bungie's new creation, both be on Game Pass in the same launch window on Xbox. That just warms my heart as a longtime Bungie player. Yeah.
Maybe we're skipping ahead, but yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like we can kind of naturally go into there before we sort of react to the new gameplay that was revealed, but obviously, it was an Xbox conference this week. It was really, really interesting to see Halo next to Destiny and where Destiny has gone versus where Halo has gone. And I got to say, I don't know. Like, we're on a Destiny show. I'm clearly a Destiny fanboy. But my reaction to the Destiny gameplay was much more positive than it was to the Halo gameplay. And what Destiny has managed to do is they've created this gorgeous world that somehow still looks gorgeous this many years into Destiny 2's life cycle. Well, Halo is just under the lens of scrutiny because Xbox has touted the Xbox Series X as this powerhouse, and then they launch Halo, and this is what keeps popping up in my brain. 4K, 60 frames per second. What did it cost? Everything. Because everybody's talking about the graphical fidelity of Halo. And if you dive a little bit deeper into their strategy with Halo, they're saying it's going to be 10 years. This is like, there's not going to be an Infinite 2. Sounds like a game of service to me. Paul, what are your thoughts on the Halo versus Destiny strategy here?
It's very fascinating, and I'll probably end up writing a full thing about this, but it's very interesting to see where Bungie has taken its own kind of Halo once it left Microsoft. Like, theoretically, they could have stayed at Microsoft, and in an alternate universe, Destiny could have been an Xbox exclusive, which is kind of wild to think about, but theoretically that could have happened. But instead, Microsoft kept Halo and gave it to someone else, and then Bungie went and did their own thing. The problem with 343's Halo for me, especially now kind of with this, is that they seem so determined to kind of recapture the magic of Bungie's original trilogy that it almost feels like they're going too much back in time. Like, everyone's saying like, oh, well, like, what are you complaining about? Like, this looks like Halo. Like, they're going back to Combat Evolved. And it's like, yeah, but like, this isn't like an HD remaster of Combat Evolved. Like, we already have that. And it seems like the franchise needs to kind of evolve both maybe visually, but also in terms of gameplay and stuff. And we got the grappling hook and whatever, but it's fascinating because Bungie has taken what was the core of the Halo series, awesome gunplay, and they turned it into Destiny. And that includes these expansive worlds and loot and all this stuff. And I'm not saying Halo needs that, but 343 is so obsessed with trying to figure out what made people love like Halos 1 through 3 especially, that they don't really seem to be kind of looking at what Bungie's doing now and why people like that game now. And well, I love the original Halo trilogy more than like almost any other series and have so much time into it. And yet I don't know if like chasing the feel and the look of a, you know, 15, 20 year old series is the right play here. And like, there's a lot of extenuating things. Like, it's an unfinished thing. And I personally think production probably is rushed because of COVID constraints and this needing to be a launch title, according to them, when most games are delayed like 3 or 4 times. So that could be playing into things. But just generally speaking, the philosophy seems to be looking a bit too much into the past. And some people think that's a good thing. But then you have this crowd that includes me right now, which can kind of see this and just not really dig it, like based on the other kind of shooters in the market. And then putting it right next to Destiny, which is just, has this mind-blowingly cool like stasis trailer, like all these abilities and all these enemies and like these environments and like, and it's the Halo company that did it. So it makes it such like an ironic comparison to have those in the same show.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is when Bungie got Destiny over to PC finally, and it was like under Activision still, they managed to work with these other talented people like at, Digital Extremes and High Moon?
Vicarious Visions.
You're right. Vicarious Visions and High Moon Studios. And they had this like super slick PC port and it's awesome. Like it's great, right? So to see where Halo is at versus Destiny, it's just weird to me. Anyway, Travis, what were your thoughts about seeing two of these, you know, amazing Bungie built properties? One's gone over to 343, one's still with Bungie. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think people are being a little hard on Halo Infinite personally on the internet. My first thought was this looks like they're trying something new, which I think Halo has probably needed that for a while. And I think 343, especially with Halo 4, did a lot that was sort of trying to capture, they did change a lot in Halo 4, actually. Probably not a good thing. But I think they've not been super afraid to take risks. You know, Halo 5 was a huge deviation where they replaced the Chief and they added all these Spartan abilities and stuff like that. They added Sprint with Halo 4. And I think they've had mixed reactions from fans. I sort of like all of the Halo games, 1 through 5 and Reach and ODST and all of that. And I think that they should try new things. But I don't really care about graphics. I don't care too much about 4K or 60 FPS. I mean, clearly I'm a console player, right? If I cared about that, I would play on PC. But I think that Halo can be its own thing without trying to chase Destiny. And I think there's room in the gaming ecosystem for both Destiny to be this, really crazy stasis, space magic sort of thing, and Halo to be like a more grounded, military sci-fi shooter that it is. And I do think they're trying a bunch of new stuff. The open world thing, there's ability upgrade system, which is sort of a new concept to Halo, all of that. And the games as a service model as well, which I think that we should probably call that for what it is, right?
Yeah. 10-year franchise, they, one world,
yeah.
Not games of service. You're a games of service game. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's what you're going to be. And
yeah,
look, gameplay-wise, I think Halo looks awesome. Storytelling-wise, I'm really interested about the pilot character and that sort of interaction that the two are going to have. Somebody relies on Master Chief and just... that's going to be fascinating, right? Because in Halo 5, it really felt like Chief was just doing stuff to be selfish. He was basically going through a breakup and just diving into work, right? He kind of alienates his team. He's going rogue and no lock, no nothing. And it's just great to see Chief and this other character who isn't ultra strong. He's just a guy, as far as we know right now. And he's going to rely on Chief to survive. And I really, really like that dichotomy between two characters. So I think narrative wise, it seems like 343 is really, really onto something. And I've kind of just turned this into a Halo show. I guess I've been really excited to talk about Halo a bit. But maybe we should rein it back into Destiny. And I'll just say this.
It's not unrelated. I mean, it's pretty
true.
Pretty married to each other in a lot of ways, but
to rein it back in a bit, it's two different strategies. Halo has fewer weapons. It's sort of like not a loot game. They're going to be doing storytelling within this open world of Infinite. I'm still getting text messages live during the show. My bad. And then Bungie has this whole other strategy right now of what they're doing with the story. We know the beats that we're going to hit for the next, how many years off the top of our, do you guys know off the top of your head?
Three years. Three at least.
Yeah. And that's super interesting to me.
Yeah. The other thing, I think, if I can say one last thing about Halo Infinite before we go back to talking about Destiny for the next couple of years, is that, I think we're also overlooking the fact that we haven't seen Halo's multiplayer. I mean, Halo was always at its heart, it was a multiplayer game. That's what made people love Halo 2. And I think even in Combat Evolved, it had a great story, but that was sort of a surprise, right? Like, it was kind of crazy that a multiplayer shooter could also have a really good campaign. And I think that Halo's probably going to focus more on that multiplayer, and that's where its players will spend 95% of its time. And Destiny's the exact opposite. I mean, the Destiny is PvE first in my mind. Yeah. So,
and if anyone
that as well,
if anyone saw that rumor today where somebody had said that it was going to be delayed, that's absolutely not true. That was confirmed. So just clearing the air on that.
But you know, maybe
I think it might.
You should have shown some multiplayer in your grand Halo reveal at your most viewed game showcase of the year. Just saying.
I'll give you a point there. I have to say though, Microsoft has a beat that they're going to hit every month. We have Gamescom coming down the line, and they need something to show. So I think their strategy of sort of piecemealing out their content versus Sony's strategy of like, here's our greatest hits, here's everything you can expect with PS5, here's our console reveal. By the way, we're going to shut up now for like until launch, basically. It's just two different strategies. I think Xbox is being really open, and Sony's sort of being more closed off.
Open except for their secret console that's supposed to come out in 3 months that they haven't mentioned once.
We don't know if that's right? It's perceived as a secret console.
Xbox is being more open. Sony's being more closed off and showing only the best of the best. And anyway, lot to unpack there. Going back to Bungie. So basically, we got to look at the new powers. I'm going to cut over to that right now.
Yes.
And man, the fact that we're back in a snow-covered area, that
I've seen
there's
terrible
this new
things
antagonist
born out
that,
in the darkness.
I squealed like a little kid when I saw the ice powers in action.
It's time
oh
to
my
step
god.
The light.
It was so freaking cool.
So, yeah, I'm wondering, like, how do we know how this works?
That.
Like, are these...
That has to be canned, right?
I am so wondering how this works with like geometry. Not everything's how you throw that at like a 3-year slant.
And I'm playing
like,
back.
In case
playing
I get, that's like a grenade ability.
Just so everybody knows, so you see a pause next to me. But it's. Think about that in PvP and how that's gonna act with everything. And that's their supers, right?
No, so I think they've got some grenades there. I think there's a grenade that maybe freezes people, and then they're like slamming to actually break frozen people. And you can see them in one quick hit. Like, we're gonna see a lot of, I assume, subclasses in that. But I'm wondering, you know, is there one subclass that lets you build things on walls when you throw grenades, and another one? But there's some ability.
I've seen terrible things born out in the darkness.
What I heard today, maybe
every moment brings them closer. It's time to step beyond the light.
In the ice subclass, like as a
interesting.
So that's a super, right? Like what the thing we're seeing.
That's definitely for the warlock is for ice staff, and like you can see it in a couple of these clips, like he uses the ice staff like that first person weapon, like shoot ice orbs. So I can't tell if that's super, like a first person super, like golden gun, or if it's
here's the PvP.
Just like the target of melee. Yeah, this is
so grenade.
He uses it to lock himself in the air.
Well, I think really he just jumps over it. He throws it down, so there's a wall like May and Overwatch, and then he throws a blade. We know hunters have throwing knives, right? But he freezes his opponents.
I think he's. I heard it was a suppression thing where it's like you take away their. It's like a throwing knife of suppression, but
they're frozen.
Yeah, they can't move, dude.
Look at that! Oh, they're like slowed down. I see what you're saying. It's like they've been
It's a throwing star. It's not a knife.
Oh, yeah.
You had it paused where there was like a little shrinking thing right on the screen.
Yeah, there it is.
And it's bouncing around, too. It's got like that. It's bouncing up.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how Shatter works. It kind of reminds me of Borderlands. So, like, in Borderlands, you can get someone with cryo damage enough, when you get them over a certain like percent cryo threshold, they can push it out. And they can, you know, get shattered pretty bad. I'm wondering how that happens over here.
I'm wondering, I mean, this brings up like so many possibilities. Like this can change the whole platforming game. They can make puzzles in the new raid that, you know, involve, you know, having the right mixture of whatever it was he threw on the ground that let him kind of jump up in the air or you know, get higher elevation. And, you know, there can be entire strategies around freezing enemies and shattering them and that sort of stuff. So
I keep thinking about all the ways people are going to troll their teammates with the platforms.
Oh, for sure.
That was the first thing that came up when I saw that wall.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be jumping to a ledge and someone's just going to put a wall up and force them off.
I also wonder if it'll make the Titan super like, or the Titan class ability useless, right? Because you put up a wall that's like not as good. I mean, right? It's kind of like a temporary wall.
Through it. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you three peek. Right?
Right.
Just take out your sword and look over the wall.
Yeah, this is going to make it so much less useful, though. So that kind of worries me. But I'm just excited to see the sandbox just kind of get shaken around, because it's been dull for me for a little bit, right? That we haven't gotten anything really new since Forsaken, and there's been a lot of nerfing going on, and they've been removing weapons from the pool, and this is just an opportunity for them to say like, screw it, let's just something crazy and give them new toys to play with. Yeah,
you're definitely right. We've had some different. Interesting weapons, like the, you know, the effigy has been really interesting, but we haven't gotten any super interesting new powers since Forsaken, right?
Correct.
So this is,
even that was just a new tree. Like this is the biggest thing they've added, like class wise in the game ever. It's short of getting a fully new fourth guardian class. Like this is the biggest thing they could add as a fourth element, which I don't think we ever will get a fourth guardian class, but this kind of replaces that. So that's cool.
It's definitely very, very exciting. That's actually all I had for this episode. I do want to give our viewers a little bit of a notice. I'm actually going to try and take a real break next week. So don't immediately expect an episode. I'm going to actually like sign off of everything and actually go dark for a little bit. So we'll be
so for all your Destiny video needs, head over to Paul Tassi on YouTube.
Yeah, he'll tweet it out. Here's his Twitter.
Post my YouTube videos on my Twitter. That's how you find them.
Yeah. So. That's what I do too. Yeah. Yeah. Any final thoughts though before we move on? I think the Xbox showcase, it was really interesting to see where Halo's gone, where Destiny is going. I think Destiny 2 coming to Game Pass is a huge win. Especially if you're already an Xbox gamer, subscribe to Game Pass. You're just like, oh, all right, I guess I'm going to start playing Destiny. Why not?
Yeah. I think this also just makes it like 10 times more exciting about Beyond Light, because I was one of the guys who kind of was afraid that this was their Rise of Iron year, right? Where they were just kind of going to delay and wait for Savathun, because all of the content in Beyond Light is kind of pushing toward the queen, right? The witch. So I'm very excited to see that this looks like it's going to have some crazy big strokes in terms of stuff that they deliver. I mean, so
Europa looks gorgeous.
I'm very excited about all of it. The Game Pass stuff, Europa, the stasis, that's all great. I think we have to warn everyone and caution ourselves that it's going to be a little bit of a dark couple of months here. I mean, we have an entire month Solstice of Heroes and then entire month Festival of the Lost. That's probably all that's really going to happen. So I think we're about to head into some pretty serious downtime because of that delay, which is fine because there's a bunch of stuff to play.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a lull.
Realistically, Beyond Light's going to hit. We're going to have a pretty solid campaign, solid 4-hour campaign. And then it'll be a bunch of like side quests, like go get 250 headshots in strikes using sidearms, you know, stuff like that. Like we know sort of what to expect from the Bungie franchise. So while I am hyped to see where they're going with Beyond Light and get those beats, especially with the new seasonal model and the storytelling they've been doing, we're going to tear through it. That's just how we are. And I'm okay with that.
Yep.
I'm still stoked.
Yeah. Just gives you more time to play Halo, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We can just alternate between the two. Definitely.
Exactly.
That's all. Bathe and Bungie. Sorry, Travis, go ahead.
Just bathe in Bungie. That's all we'll be doing.
343. But anyway, that's all I had for this episode. Thank you so much to Paul Tassi for joining us. Paul, I'm going to throw up your lower third one more time. Boom, there cool. he is, at Paul Tassi. Check out all his cool YouTube videos on Twitter. Not
yes. next week.
Definitely
oh, not. And my tweets. Those are good too.
And his tweets.
Oh, and I write articles. It's my actual job. So that.
Oh, yeah. And that stuff
yeah, too. Yeah, read those.
Yeah. And Travis, thank you as always. But that's it for this episode, everybody. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.